is 08-16-27, Villo versus Iyer,
the bump of the dog.
Ms. Lapkin?
Yes.
Dog is not a party to proceeding, I take it, over.
Good morning. Milwaukee Police Sergeant Kevin Iyer and Milwaukee Police Officer Montel Carter are before you today because they believe that they are entitled to the qualified immunity defense relative to the one remaining issue that proceeded beyond the summary judgment stage. And that's the issue as to whether or not the third and fourth shots fired at the dog, Bubba, by Officer Carter and the circumstances the officers faced in August of 2004.
And they both involve questions of fact, right?
Your Honor, they
involve... There are questions of fact about both of those shots, I think.
I don't believe that there are questions of fact which would...
Well, you claim in the third shot the dog's teeth were bared and so forth, but there's plenty of witnesses who said that was not correct. So I don't know why you're here. I don't know why we have jurisdiction. There are questions of fact.
In this particular case, Your Honor, with regard to this particular legal issue as to the objective reasonableness of the decision to shoot, the officer's motive or intent is not relevant. There are questions relative to whether or not the dog growled or whether or not the dog was ambulatory at that point in time. When the officers first arrived on scene, they were lawfully on scene. They were about to attempt to apprehend a wanted felony suspect. As they approach this yard, the dog leaps over the fence. He is not controlled. He is not leashed. He is not supervised by his owner. He leaves the yard, and relative to that moment in time, Officer Carter, knowing that the felony suspect was known to have a vicious dog or a dangerous dog and known to carry a weapon, he had his shotgun at the ready. When the dog left the yard after jumping over the fence, he did proceed towards two other officers that were present, and so the first two shots were fired. At that point in time, we have a wounded animal. That's undisputed in the record. Also, it was conceded
by... Yeah, but you have a lot of depositions of other people that say he wasn't vicious, right?
But the district court found, that at that point in time when shots one and two were fired, this was a dog that was attacking police officers. This was a dog that was not behaving in a friendly fashion. He was leaping over a fence going after police officers.
I don't think that was contested by the plaintiff.
Right. That's correct.
Right.
And the court reached that conclusion.
Right, because we're talking, because really what's at issue is the 12 minutes that pass.
Correct.
When the dog is on her property.
Correct.
In the bushes.
Correct.
Wounded.
Yes.
And that's really what we're talking about.
Exactly.
As it relates to qualified immunity, this shot 3 and 4.
But we would argue that in the totality of the circumstances approach to analyzing this situation, which is appropriate given the reasonableness of the circumstances, that given the totality of the circumstances,
yeah, but
the
that's
fact...
Not, my point is that your position is not uncontested as to the third and fourth shots. And therefore, I don't think you can take an appeal on qualified immunity except on stipulated facts.
But in this case, Your Honor, it's uncontested that the dog was attacking relative to shots 1 and 2. At this point, once that dog is hit with the bullet, now we have a wounded animal. We have law enforcement on scene looking for a felony suspect. This would be akin to officers being on scene at a drug house, enforcing a narcotics-related warrant, and then they come upon an animal in that house. It's a situation where they shoot the animal, but now they have a wounded animal. They're effectuating lawful, significant government
purposes. There's a question as to whether the animal was attacking them or was a problem to them, or was the dog wounded enough so that they were doing a noble job of euthanasia when they popped them off.
Well, they believe that by the fourth shot, they were doing euthanasia and putting the dog down and putting it out of its misery.
That becomes a question of fact. Was it necessary or unnecessary for them to kill the dog in the final analysis, or could the dog have been nursed back to health if he had been left to the owner? And
well, during the period of
unless
time...
Unless he was a menace to the cops, why would they want to shoot it?
There's a series of issues at that point in time. The dog does scoot or get itself into the bushes in front of the house.
Right.
It's at that area. They've called MADAC, which is the animal group that would come. A supervisor is sent to the scene per usual procedure. Right. The officer who fired the first two shots is standing essentially guard in the front yard, making sure the animal does not move or go anywhere. He's still got his shotgun ready because, again, now we have a wounded animal.
Right.
A crowd begins to gather. That adds to the risk factor. And all the while, this is still interfering with the officer's purpose of finding that felony suspect. Now,
but she says, you know, it's her dog. She wants to go nurse the dog. She wants to go to the dog or call the veterinarian, but the officers won't let her leave the yard. Right?
Yes, Your Honor. But the officer... I'm sorry. The officer that she was dealing with was Officer Klatka. Mm. Officer Klatka was the team leader. He went to the rear yard where Mrs. Vila was located with her party. She was interacting with Officer Klatka. Officer Klatka, in his affidavit, was a part of the record, indicated that, yes, Ms. Vila indicated she was the owner of the dog. However, Officer Carter, who was in the front yard, maintaining guard essentially over the situation, did not know that. It's uncontested that at the time the third and fourth shots were fired, Officer Carter did not know that Ms. Vila was the owner of the dog, did not know she expressed an interest to come to the front of the yard, did not know that information. From Officer Carter's perspective, which is the perspective which is important here for this reasonableness analysis, Officer Carter is faced with a wounded dog laying in the bushes, citizens gathering. He's got the unpredictability of this animal. And when Sergeant Iyer arrives on scene and begins to walk on a sidewalk area, now this dog begins to ambulate. Officer Carter is not a mind reader, a dog mind reader. He sees this dog moving out of the bushes. It's wounded. And they make that joint decision, and Officer Carter responds to Sergeant Iyer's order to shoot the dog because Officer Carter is in a better tactical position. Sergeant Iyer even began to pull his weapon because of this dog now coming out of the bushes area. Officer Klatka, in his affidavit, indicated that, yes, he's in the backyard with Mrs. Vilo. He doesn't let her come out because, one, he's got a wounded animal in the front. Even though it's her pet, it's unpredictable. If she were injured or bitten by this dog, that would create significant problems as well. They have not cleared the house. They have not determined if this felony suspect is present. And so until those things are taken care of, he maintains her in the backyard area. Again, Officer Carter is the person out in the front yard, as well as Sergeant Iyer.
Yeah, yes. You're into your rebuttal time.
Thank you.
Then Ms. Senatori, did I pronounce that correctly?
You did.
All right.
Thank you.
She gets an A in pronunciation.
Good morning. May it please the Court, my name is Megan Senatori, and I'm appearing for the plaintiff appellee, Virginia Vilo. I think that the questions the court asked this morning hit the nail on the head. This court does not have jurisdiction over this appeal, and the district court's denial of qualified immunity was absolutely correct because there are genuinely disputed material facts related to the third and fourth shot. And I think it's very telling that my opponent focused the court initially on the first two shots and continued.
Well, absent the first two shots, there's no problem because it wounds the dog. You have to get the first two shots in before you get worrying about the third and fourth.
Well, and we didn't challenge the first two shots because we recognized there was a split-second decision that was required at that time. But my opponent repeatedly told the court that it was uncontested that the district court found that Bubba the dog was attacking the officers when he jumped over that fence at the time of the first two shots. And she wants the court to take that to try to turn it into the dog being dangerous at the time of the third and fourth shots.
That's what she wants to do. That's
she true. Very much wants to do that. But the problem is that, first of all, district courts don't make findings of fact. This is summary judgment. Judge Clavert didn't find anything. Second, it's not true. Judge Clavert expressly found in his decision at page 6 that the dog was, and he, I'm sorry, and I think I misused the word found now, but he noted
you
that
just
based
did,
on.
Yeah. He made a finding of fact. Yeah.
Yes, he made no findings of fact. But Ms. Vilo's, the presentation of evidence
what
that she provided.
What he said was that there was
the
a
court,
contested problem as to the facts. It might be this or it might be that.
Right, and he specifically held that based on the testimony of the neighbors that she put their testimony into the record that the dog was, quote, not attacking the officers at the time of the first two shots. Then we go to the third shots, and the court had asked Ms. Lappin whether the dog was interfering with the officer's purpose of finding the felony suspect at the time. Well, this particular officer, Officer Carter, did not have responsibility for finding a felony suspect at the scene.
He was just there to shoot the dog.
Well, unfortunately, yes. In his deposition, he testified that he brought a shotgun because a shotgun is the best weapon in his experience for a dog. There were six officers that went there. Officer Carter's sole responsibility was to be there for whatever happened with respect to the dog that they knew would be at the scene.
You are suggesting that as a police officer he had no interest in finding a felon that was escaping.
Of course not. He certainly
had
that interest.
That wasn't his responsibility is what you're saying.
Exactly.
But it was in a broader sense.
He was there at the scene. Five other officers were responsible for trying to apprehend this felony suspect.
He was protecting them.
He was protecting them.
Okay.
And I apologize if I insinuated otherwise. He certainly had an interest.
All you're interested in is that there's a contested question of fact as to whether or not it was necessary for those officers or appropriate for them to shoot the dog the second time.
Exactly.
Okay, you could quit any time you want.
And with that, Your Honors, I would respectfully request that the court either dismiss this appeal for lack of jurisdiction due to the presence of genuinely disputed material facts, or alternatively, affirm Judge Clavert, the district court's decision that these officers are not entitled to qualified immunity for the same reason, because the reasonableness of the third and fourth shots, the shots that were challenged here, cannot be determined on summary judgment. There is too much conflicting evidence.
Thank you, Ms.
Thank Senator. You.
Ms. Laffin?
Your Honors, there is absolutely no evidence in the record suggesting that Officer Carter's sole responsibility was to take care of the dog or any anticipated dog. He was part of a team. It was an apprehension team that were looking for this felony suspect. Yes, he was armed with a shotgun, but he had other responsibilities there as well. And had he not been forced...
He was there to guard against the dog. He wasn't part of the team chasing the felon, was he?
He was part of the team. He had the shotgun in his vehicle. He brought the shotgun with him. But there's no evidence saying that that's all he was sent there to do. Had there been no
Precisely.
Dog, he would have been part of the team.
We need evidence.
Correct. And that was in his testimony. And he
is this in the city of Milwaukee, this incident?
Yes, it is, Your Honor.
How come the deputy sheriffs are chasing the fugitives in the city? Is that common practice?
There speaks a Wisconsin lad trying to find
out
what happened.
I'm just wondering why it isn't the city police rather than the deputy sheriffs.
What was the city of police? My clients were all city of Milwaukee police officers.
See, there you are.
Sergeant Iyer is a police sergeant from the Milwaukee Police Department. Officer Carter is an officer of the Milwaukee Police Department. There might have been some reference to the county sheriff's department. This was a guy who was wanted in a different jurisdiction, and they were looking for him, and he did cross, apparently, jurisdictional lines. So maybe that's where it came from. But relative to shots 3 and 4, it's the position of the defendants that qualified immunity applies here because there's no case law that indicated to these officers acting on the street in these tense, uncertain circumstances that it was not appropriate for them to fire their weapon at the dog. The dog, it's undisputed, came out of the bushes. He was ambulatory. He was coming in the direction of Sergeant Iyer and Officer Carter. Officer Carter fires the weapon 3rd and 4th time. It's undisputed. This dog was interfering with a pretty significant police and public function here and looking for this wanted felony suspect. In addition, there was also the added risk level and element here of protecting the officers on scene and the citizens on scene. Again, officers, there's no case law that requires them to be some kind of mind readers to understand or think that when this dog is coming out of the bushes and it's been shot, that somehow it's going to be a good dog or a bad dog. In that tense situation, I think the officer is entitled to use his discretion and fire his weapon for the various reasons I've noted. And there is no case law that tells this officer, that told Officer Carter or Sergeant Iyer, that it was unreasonable in these circumstances to fire the weapon. And yeah, there's a dispute as to what the dog might have done. Who knows what a dog is going to do, especially a wounded dog, whether it was going to bite or not bite. The officer is not a mind reader, just like in some cases, you know, the courts have held that the officers are not medical doctors. They can't look inside the person's body. Well, similarly, the officer can't look inside this dog's mind. The dog moved. It's whether it was limping, crawling, running, barking, it moved out from its place of retreat in these bushes. It was a tense, uncertain situation. They still have not found that felony suspect. There's a crowd gathering. There's officers involved, and it's, you know, from what Judge Clavert determined and what is clear in the record, that dog came very close and in the direction of Officer Carter.
Your time is expired, but
I have
a question.
Thank you. Oh, yeah.
Before you disappear, what happened to the felon? Did we ever find him? Or
he was found about 2 days later, and he was taken into custody.
So we captured him. The dog did not die in vain. Go ahead.
Thank you, counsel. We'll take the case under advisement.